Thank you. Enjoyed that. Excellent. Super. 2 Timothy chapter 1 this evening in your Bible. Thank you, ladies, for that good special. We're going to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago on the subject of biblical evidence of salvation or unfeigned faith. It's a strange sound right now, Troy. If you can help me out, bring me back around to what was normal, please. That'll help me, okay? I don't know if we lost our monitors or if you get anything coming out of there, Brother Don. Something's a little funny right now. If you can help us with that, I'd appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to take just a minute to review the first part, the fore part of the lesson, and then jump into the second evidence tonight. We looked at the witness of the Holy Spirit 2 weeks ago, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We're going to look at the second one tonight, out of John chapter 10. But I wanted you to notice here, and something's funny, Brother Joe. Is it too loud out front? Is it too loud? Is it out there? Is it too loud out there? Because something's, sir, it's okay? All right. So it just something's not right. If you can help me, I'd appreciate it, okay, from where, like it was before. Look at verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. I'm not going to go back through the fact that Timothy was a boy, we believe, when he got saved and so forth and so on. But I want to talk to you a little bit again tonight about this matter of unfeigned faith, real faith. Dear Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the good special that spoke to our hearts. I pray for our quiet time alone with you. I pray it would not be neglected. The world is so busy. Our world becomes so busy, it is easily pushed out of our lives. May we, Lord, spend those calm and quiet moments with you every day. And may you speak to us and grow us through it. Bless us tonight now, Lord. Speak to our hearts in this lesson. I need your help. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. The word unfeigned faith. Timothy, you possess unfeigned faith. The root word of unfeigned is feign. Remember that feign means to speak or act under a false part, like you would do if you were assigned a part in a play. Like an actor would do if he's acting out a part. He's pretending to be whatever or whoever he is supposed to be in the program. That's what feign means, okay? Now, the prefix un means not. So Timothy had faith that was not feigned. It was not pretend. It was real, in other words. He had real salvation, not pretend salvation. And as I said, there's nothing wrong with playing a part in a play or being an actor, but when it comes to salvation, you better not be playing a part. Amen. You don't want to be playing a game, because someday the game's that won't amount to a hill of beans, friend. That'd be horrible. Stand before God. So we talked about this matter, the biblical evidence of unfeigned faith. We talked about the first one, the witness of the Holy Spirit, the witness in you. Okay, it's not something; it's someone inside of you. If you're saved, that bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Remember that before you get saved, your spirit is dead. You're dead to the things of God. You have no communication with God. You have no fellowship with God. There's no way for you to communicate with God. You got a dead spirit. When you're born again, that's the part of you that's reborn. It's the spirit, okay? Born again, made alive. Now it's alive to the things of God. And the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit, you're saved. We talked about that. There's just places and times and situations where you know there's a witness on the inside. I'm a child of God. You know it. Okay, there's a witness there. It means to corroborate or testify. That's the first one. Now, the second biblical evidence of salvation is in John chapter 10. So turn there, John chapter 10. And we'll spend the rest of the evening here in these few verses, except for at a couple of other places in the Gospels. And one is in the book of Acts, I think. We'll go there. So use your Bible. I want you to see it tonight. The second biblical evidence is the recognition of the Savior's voice. The recognition of the Savior's voice. I'm talking about how you know you're saved, if you got real faith, okay? The recognition of the Savior's voice. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Notice that. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Look at verse number 27, same chapter. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. Biblical evidence of unfeigned faith. You hear the Savior's voice. My sheep hear my voice. Now, shepherding was and still is a very common vocation in the Middle East. You know that. A lot of sheep over there. I remember when I was in New Zealand, I think there's, 18 to 25 million sheep and 3 million people on that place. So the sheep outnumber the people extensively over there. In the Middle East, shepherding was a common vocation. As I understand it, you had a village, you had a town. Outside the village, there was a stone enclosure that had a door that's where they kept the sheep. The sheep all stayed inside that stone enclosure. That door allowed the shepherd and the sheep entrance and exit from the sheepfold. Entrance and exit through the door. Now, the sheep that were in that sheepfold were not just one shepherd's sheep. All the men who lived in the village who had sheep put their sheep in that sheepfold. It was there to protect them from, no doubt, from the animals and so forth and so on. You remember when David was watching the sheep, he had to protect the sheep from a lion and a bear. So they had to be protected like they do now. I think I've told you before. Robert Keaton from Rock of Ages was here to help us. Remember when we had the services up at Indian Oaks there at the place in Manteno, at the boys and girls place there? And he came and trained us on that. And I was treating Brother Keaton to some lunch. And I don't know how we got talking about his brother had bought some land in Tennessee and had some sheep and was having trouble with the coyotes. And I said, man, my neighbor's having trouble with the coyotes. Said he's losing lambs all the time. Coyotes are crazy out there. He said, well, I'll tell you what to do. He said, my brother got him a mule or a donkey, put it in with the sheep, and a donkey will go after a canine. And it ended all of his trouble with coyotes. Hadn't lost a sheep since. So one day I was going down the road. I saw John out working. I pulled over and got out and talked to him like I do often and just talked with him for a while. And he was talking about how the coyotes got another one of the lambs. That came to my mind. I said, you know what, John? So the guy told me that if you put a donkey or a mule in with that sheep, he'll attack canines and you try to keep the coyotes away. And he kind of laughed. Yeah. A few weeks later, I was coming down the road where he keeps his sheep over here. Stopped, did a double take. Here was a mule in that thing, man. And I got to talking to him. I said, you got you a mule? He said, it's a burro. I don't know what the difference is between a mule and a burro. Anybody know what the difference is? Brother Jorge, he's up north tonight. He may know what a burro is. I don't know. Mule and a burro. I don't know. But anyway, he hadn't lost any sheep since. He put that thing in there and hadn't lost a sheep, hadn't lost a lamb since. So they had the same thing. They had all the sheep. I mean all the sheep that belonged to anybody in the village were in that stone enclosure. Now, when a particular shepherd desired to lead his flock out to pasture, the porter, he was the one that did the door, the porter protected there, he would let the shepherd in the enclosure. The shepherd would go in. Once he got inside the sheepfold, he would call for his sheep. Each one of those shepherds had an individual call and had it all done. And the sheep that belonged to that particular shepherd would respond to his voice and follow him out to pasture. They would not follow the voice of a stranger because his voice was strange to them. Had nothing to do with the person. Had everything to do with his voice. Now, I saw a little bit about this on the farm when I was out in Iowa. My father-in-law would feed those hogs and those sows would be out there. And he'd take those buckets of feed out and he'd come through the little gate. And he'd want them to come up. He'd want to dump the feed on the... He had the cement pads there. And wanted to dump the feed on the pads so it wouldn't get just mashed into the ground, go to waste. And so he'd go to those cement pads. Those sows would be all out there. Boy, ha, 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 ha. He'd start... Ha, 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 ha. And they'd start coming. I mean, those sows would start coming. And they kind of knew his voice. And I would go out there once in a while to feed that for him. And I'd try to do the same. And I don't think I was near as successful as he was. But... The hogs would come and they'd eat on the ground there. They'd eat the feed off the ground. But this is a little bit more exact than that. Because each one of those shepherds' voices had a particular pitch, a particular volume, and a particular sound. And when the sheep, when he's calling his sheep, he uses that sound. He uses that pitch. He uses that voice. And the way the sheep knew that they belonged to that shepherd was that they recognized his voice. Now that's what Jesus said about me and you. My sheep hear my voice. They recognize it. They understand it. They can hear it. Okay? Unsaved people can't. But saved people hear and recognize the voice of Jesus Christ. Now, in this parable, I'm not going to teach this parable tonight. In this parable, Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. Jesus is the sheepfold. He is everything when it comes to salvation. Okay? He's the shepherd, the door, and the sheepfold. He talks about different things here in this passage. But here's what I want to point out tonight. Recognizing the Savior's voice. In order for a person to get saved, they have to answer the Lord's call. They have to answer the Lord's call. Matthew 9:13. Here's what the Lord said about Himself. He said, "Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Here's what He said. "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." What does Jesus do? He calls the sinners to repentance. He calls the sinners to salvation. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come unto me. That's His call. Look over in Acts chapter 9, if you would keep your finger there, in John chapter 10. Well, actually, no, we'll go to other places, so you don't have to really hold that place. Look at Acts chapter 9. Here's Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus. He's going to haul off some men and women who are Christians to prison. And he's on his way there. You know the story about that. Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse number 3. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?'" He recognized the voice of Jesus Christ. This is his call to salvation. "And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?'" So for the soul, look at verse 7. "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man." Now, Paul identified that voice. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" The other men heard a voice, but they couldn't identify it. They couldn't recognize it. Look over at Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, Paul's recounting this story. Acts chapter 22 and verse number 7. Acts 22, verse number 7. He's telling this story in front of a multitude of people, giving his testimony. He's talking about his journey to Damascus in Acts 22, verse number 7. He says, "And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And I answered, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said unto me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest.'" Now watch verse 9. "And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me." So they heard noise, but they didn't hear a voice. They didn't hear the voice. They couldn't identify that voice, okay? But Saul of Tarsus heard the call of salvation on his heart, and he responded. And that's how you get saved. When Jesus Christ calls on your heart, "Come trust me. Come unto me. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The call to salvation goes out. We hear His voice saying, "Come unto me." And we answer that call and receive salvation. If you are saved, you responded to the voice of the Savior. He said, "Come unto me." Now, He didn't say it with those words, but He impressed upon your heart. He impressed upon my heart. I may not have heard something with my ears audibly. You didn't hear anything with your ears audibly, but God impressed upon your heart. Jesus did. "Come to me. Come to me. Come to Christ." The Holy Spirit's convicting us, pointing us to Jesus. Jesus Himself, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden," and so forth and so on. I still remember the night I responded to the Savior's call and received the gift of salvation. I remember that night. Now, I was 18. Some of you got saved when you were 5 or 6. Maybe it's not as clear in your memory as it is me, as my memory, because I was 18. Okay? But if you were saved at 5 or 6, you responded to the Savior's call. His voice spoke to you. His voice brought you to Himself. He called you to salvation. Okay? And so that's the voice you responded to. Now, once you belong to the shepherd, you should be able to recognize His voice. Jesus' sheep know His voice. That's what he said. My sheep hear my voice. So can you recognize the voice of the Savior? Does Jesus speak to your heart? Does Jesus commune with you? He doesn't speak audibly, folks, like I'm speaking to you right now. But in your spirit, there is communication with Him. My sheep hear my voice. Now, how does our shepherd speak to us? I'll give you four ways. There may be more, but I'm just going to take time to give you four. You might want to write these down. Number one, He speaks to us through the Scriptures. He speaks to us through the Scriptures. Look at John chapter 5. I'm trying to give you Bible evidence, okay? This is not some kind of worked up emotional thing. I'm trying to give you Bible evidence. You know, friend, look, there's nothing greater in life than being saved and knowing it. And it's difficult when you battle doubt and you have all this disturbance in your soul. So I'm trying to give you biblical evidence. I'm trying to show you evidence from the Bible about unfeigned faith, real faith. If you don't have these evidences, then you have cause for concern, okay? I'm not trying to make you saved or lost right now. I'm just trying to give you biblical evidence of Bible salvation. Look at John chapter 5 and verse number 39. Jesus speaks here. He says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Who do the Scriptures speak of? They speak of Jesus Christ. The Bible is the written Word. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is in every book of the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. He's in every book. There is no way to read the Bible without Jesus speaking to your heart. Now, there are times when I don't get as much out of my Bible reading as I do at other times. And frankly, there are some times when I close my Bible reading and I say, "Man, Lord, I just don't feel like I got much out of that today." But the majority of the time, there's something from this book that ministers to my spirit and my heart when I read it. It's the voice of Jesus. It is Jesus communicating with me concerning Himself from the Word of God. That's what happens when I read the Bible. If you're saved, that's what happens when you read it. Let me give you a good example of this. Luke 24. Go to Luke chapter 24. You know the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And there, I don't have time to read that entire passage. It's a long passage. But they're discouraged, they're disconsolate because they think somebody's stolen the body of Jesus away and they really felt like He was the Messiah. And now they're beginning to doubt and question, was He who He says He was? Now what is going on here? They're walking along and Jesus joins them, but they don't know that it's Jesus. Look at verse 27. Then He said unto verse number 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Now, excuse me, folks. What books of the Bible did Moses write? Thank you. The first five. The Pentateuch. All right. Look at now. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. There are things in Genesis about Jesus, many of them. There are things in Exodus about Jesus, many of them, the Passover lamb. There are things in Leviticus, all the types of offerings and sacrifices. There are things in Numbers about Jesus. There are things in Deuteronomy about Jesus. Those are not extinct, unrelative Old Testament books that are outdated. They are relative to today. They contain truth about Jesus Christ. And when we read Moses, we ought to hear from the Savior. Something ought to correspond with our heart, our spirit. Jesus Himself conversing with us. Now, let's read on here. Verse number 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." He went in to tarry with them, said, "Come on, spend the evening with us. It's late, spend the evening with us." And verse number 30. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it, brake, and gave to them, and when He did this, verse 31, their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And then, verse 32, they said one to another, here it is, did not our heart burn with us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures again? What was He talking about when He was talking with them out of the Scriptures? He was talking with them about Himself. Right? That's what He said. What they said. He began at Moses and through all the prophets. He went through the Old Testament. He pulled story after story after truth about himself out of the Old Testament. What is these men's testimony? As he was doing that, their hearts did what? Burned. Their hearts stirred. There's some communication going on. Are you with me, folks? There's a relationship there. There was something, you know, if you enter into conversation with a friend, a loved one, a relative, and it's a good conversation, it involves more than just your mind. It involves your emotions. It involves your soul. You're into that thing. That's what happens as we read the Word of God. We recognize the Savior's voice. Our heart burns within us. What is that? That is Jesus Christ speaking to us of Himself, of truth, coming right from the Bible. Okay? That's what should happen. Do you recognize the Savior's voice? Through the Scriptures. There was recognition on their part. You know what happened? It got personal with them. Does the Bible ever get personal with you? And when you read it, does the Bible get personal with you? You know, can you tell me something? Can you tell me of something that is spoken to your heart from its pages? Now, look, I understand you go through those seasons, and you can't just take one statement and run through it. Well, Pastor Angel said that if I'm saved, my heart's going to burn every time I read the Bible. And my heart hasn't burned for a week now, so I must not be saved. You've got to take everything in this book considered. You've got to understand, just like God did to Hezekiah, God left Hezekiah for a season to try him to see what was in his heart. That did not mean that Hezekiah lost his salvation. It just meant that God backed away from Hezekiah to see if he'd be faithful. Now, there are times when I go through Bible reading where my heart doesn't burn. But my heart burned this morning. I'm in Joshua. And my heart burned. It moved. There was something there. What is that? Again, folks, before I got saved. I don't mean to be irreverent, but that was my attitude. Joshua? So what? I didn't give a flip. Now my heart burns. Well, you're older. Excuse me. It has a lot more to do with being older. I know I'm older. You don't have to remind me. Amen. But it has a lot more to do with being older. It has everything to do with I've got a relationship with the person that this book is all about. It's about Jesus. And when we read it, He speaks to us like He did with these men on the road to Emmaus here. Their hearts burned within them as He expounded unto them from the Scriptures about Himself. Now, you read the Bible some morning, you close it, you say, man, that was rich. Whew. That's a blessing. You know what that is? That's good evidence that you're saved. That's good evidence that you're saved. That's one reason why it wouldn't hurt you to read the Bible. Read it. Man, your heart burns. That's good evidence that you're born again. Saved. God speaks. Jesus speaks. Do you recognize the Savior's voice? Jesus will speak to His sheep about Himself through the pages of the Bible, in the Scriptures. Okay? It's the first way. Number two, Jesus will speak to His sheep through the Sunday services. Revelation chapter 1. Jesus speaks to His sheep through the Sunday services. Revelation chapter 1. Book of Revelation, you got John on the Isle of Patmos. John chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, he's exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He's out there all by himself. And, you know, he's put out there for the preaching he did and so forth and so on. They don't like his preaching. They don't like all the Jesus business. So they put him out there on that island. Exile him out there. He's all by himself. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says here, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, so forth and so on. Write these things in a book. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." And so, who is that? Now, who is that a description of? That can only be a description of Jesus Christ. Now, He's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. You see that? Right? Verse number 12. This voice that's speaking to John on the Lord's day is coming from the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Look down at verse number 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now put it all together. The voice that John heard on the Lord's day. What day is that? Sunday. Is coming out of the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. According to Jesus Christ, the seven golden candlesticks were what? The seven churches. So where is the voice of Jesus coming from? The churches. John's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. This is a picture here, friend, that Jesus Christ speaks to His sheep through the Sunday services. There is something unique and special about assembling with God's people on Sunday. Always has been. Always will be. Boy, somebody gave me an article the other day. Forget who it was. It was Don Osworthy. Faxed me this big article he got. It was in Time or Newsweek magazine about how popular the house church movement is right now in the evangelical churches. Unbelievably popular. I don't think it's of God. I don't believe it's of God. A church has a pastor and a congregation. It has an organized to carry on the work of Christ. I don't believe you can have... I think you can start a church in a house. That happened in the Bible. But there's always been a place where God's people assembled to hear this book. Always. And Jesus shows up in those assemblies to speak to His sheep. And that's what happens when you come to the fellowship is good, the singing is encouraging, the opportunity to give is uplifting. But most of all, friend, the greatest thing is Jesus is there to speak to our hearts. Just like He did John. On the Lord's day, from the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He was in the midst of the church speaking. That's where He was. I don't know if this ever happened. I've been in services where... Sunday and even revival meetings, even special services. I've been sitting in services and man, I've been listening to the preaching and really had my Bible open. And I mean listening, I mean concentrating. And don't tell me, friend, that it's not a battle from the moment the preaching begins to keep your mind focused on what the preacher's saying. And don't tell me it's not a battle. I see it. This is where I spend, 3 hours a week? Week after week, I see the loss of concentration. I see the dazed looks out into space. I know what happens. I know what happens to me when I sit in services. But say amen, folks, that's true. That happens. You don't have to act like, you just offended. No, that happens. We lose concentration. But I've been in those services where I'm paying attention on purpose and I'm really listening. And see if, I don't know, this has happened to you. It gets so personal. It gets so intimate, I'm lost in it. And then after a few minutes, I become aware again that I'm in a crowd. It seemed like, my goodness, it seemed like for those moments of time, maybe it was 2 minutes, maybe it was 10 minutes, but for those moments of time, it was so personal and so intimate, it was like, it was just me sitting there. I had a man come up to me Sunday. And he said, strangest thing happened to me. He said, I felt like I was just all alone. I didn't even know there was a crowd around me. I got so. What is that? That's the voice of Jesus Christ speaking through the Sunday services. I've been there. I know what He's talking about. You snap back to almost, I hate to call it reality, I enjoy the other. But you kind of dawns on you, this thing's been intense and it's been personal and so intimate that I lost conscious of everybody around me. Something happened inside my heart. That's that stirring again. What is that? It's not emotion. It's relationship. It's communication. My sheep hear my voice. You enjoy that, Brother Angel? You bet. For lots of reasons, I learn things. I hopefully get helped. But you know what it does? When I put my head on the pillow at night, I got unfeigned faith. I'm saved and I know it. My sheep hear my voice. You know what I think the key is? Did you read what John said there? He said, I was in the Spirit. That's what I talked about Sunday. We come full of television and full of Chicago Tribune, but we don't come full of the Spirit. Well, you don't know my situation. Pardon me. How you doing, Brother John? Come on, folks. What leg do you and I have to stand on? This man's 90-something years of age, exiled on an island by himself, and we're complaining? We got reasons to get... Well, you just understand, I just got so much on me, I lose concentration. Excuse me, it was the Lord's Day, and John said, you know what? It's the Lord's Day. I think I'll get in the Spirit today. I think I'll be filled up with the Holy Ghost, prayed up, prepared, ready for the message. That's how you need to come to church. And if you do, Jesus will speak to you. Be more than Terry Angel speaking. If that's all that you hear is my voice, friend, you've got problems. There needs to be something going on in here. That's the voice of Jesus Christ. You're in the Spirit. I'm convinced that's the voice of the shepherd speaking to his sheep. Okay? Got a perfect example of it right here in John chapter 1. He speaks to us through the Scriptures. He speaks to us through the Sunday services. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Number 3, He speaks to us through the storms. Matthew chapter 14. He speaks to us through the storms. In Matthew chapter 14, you have the story of the disciples taking that boat across the Sea of Galilee, the fourth watch of the night. The storm comes. They're seasoned sailors, but the storm is so tremendous that they are afraid. They're scared to death. Here they looked up and the disciples saw him walking. Verse number 26 of Matthew chapter, actually verse number 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, Matthew 14, 24, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear, scared to death. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, let me ask you a question. What is one of the greatest comforts to your heart when you're going through a tough time? Is it not the voice of a loved one, a friend, or a relative? Is it not just the voice? Is it not the voice of the one that you recognize? Is it not? I remember Brother Brown telling about when his son died, lived 2 days, their first child. Lived 2 days and died. And they're all by themselves. They're 1,000 miles from home. They're 1,000 miles from every family member they got. Out there, young couple by themselves trying to get that church going. Baby lives 2 days, and actually it was the hospital's fault. Baby died. Brother Brown, I remember him telling. He said, boy, I felt so all alone. And one of the families that was a part of the starting of the church was the Long family. And if you knew Butch Long, he was a quiet man. Butch didn't have a whole lot to say. And he didn't have a whole lot of emotion when he did talk. Yep. 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 Talking to him. Yep. And there he was. Brother Brown said the phone rang at the hospital. The nurse said, it's for you, Pastor Brown. And he just said, Brother Brown said, hello. And, Pastor, this is Butch. That's it. Never said anything else. This is Butch. Brother Brown said, man, what that did for his heart, he didn't have to say anything. He was dealing with the grief of a 2-day-old baby that had just died, trying to help his wife who nearly died in childbirth. And that voice brought great peace and encouragement to his heart. Huh? Mike Hall's dad died out in Iowa. And I called when I found out, tracked him down out in Iowa because Mike is a close personal friend. He called me this afternoon. He said, just called to say thanks. Just your phone call and the plant, thank you. They talked to him. You need to hear from somebody that you know. That voice that you what? Recognize. Somebody that you don't know can call up and offer sympathy, and that's okay. Well, it's the voice of the one that you recognize and know well. That's what when one of His sheep is experiencing difficulty, Jesus will be there to voice assurance and comfort and encouragement. He'll do that. In the dark hours of a trial, Jesus is there to speak peace to His sheep. He's there. And if you've ever been through the dark waters of a trial, and that voice, you've heard that voice, you know what I'm talking about. It puts you at ease. Takes the tension away. You hear His voice through the storms. You hear His voice through the Scriptures. You hear His voice through the Sunday services. You hear His voice through the storms. And I like this one. You hear His voice through the stumbles. Through the stumbles in John chapter 21. You hear His voice through the stumbles in John chapter 21. You've got the story of Peter turning his back on Jesus and going back to commercial fishing. You know the story. They fished all night and caught nothing. Verse number 4, when the morning was now come, John 21:4, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered Him, No. Cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. You know what happened. All those fish swam into that net. And John said, Peter, that's the Lord. I want you to see that His voice can be heard through the stumbles. You see, Peter had denied Christ, he had cursed, and he had quit. And he turned back. But in the midst of his turning back, there was a voice that said, come on home. Come on home. It was Jesus Himself. If you ever have been away from God, friend, when one of His sheep is away from the flock, Jesus will voice His desire for that stray sheep to come back to the fold. Have you ever heard that voice calling you when you strayed from the fold? You ever heard that voice calling you back when you've been away? It may not be cursing. It may not be some big sin. It may be an attitude. It may be all kind of inward trouble. You get sideways and away from God. But in the midst of that, there's a voice. There's a burning in the heart. Come on home. Come back. I'm not done with you. I'll take you back. He speaks to us through the stumbles. If you've gone away from God and you're content in your sin, you've never heard the voice of Jesus saying, child, come home, I would be concerned. You shouldn't be content in your sin away from God. There should be a disturbing thing there. And through it all, there should be a pleading, a voice burning in your heart. That impression, not an audible voice, but a voice on your heart. Come back. Come back. I promise you, folks that backslide and get out of church, drive by church buildings, I promise you they hear that voice. I've heard that. They've given testimony like that before. Every time I drove by there, something said, come back. Come back. Now, it's hard to do that sometimes. But Jesus speaks to you through the stumbles. Have you heard the voice of the Savior? If you are saved, you should be able to identify the Savior's voice through any one or all of these ways. Through the Scriptures, through the Sunday services, through the storms, and through the stumbles. And you know what that is? Not only does it provide blessing and help and encouragement, it provides assurance. I'm saved. I hear His voice. I may not be able to remember every word of the prayer when I was 6 years of age, kneeling beside my mother's bed. But in 30 years of Christian living, I've heard the Savior's voice over and over and over and over again. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. That's biblical evidence of salvation. Now, there's something that can prevent us from hearing His voice, even when you're saved. We'll finish in Hebrews 3, and that's it. Hebrews chapter 3, we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 3, there's something that can prevent you from hearing the voice of God, of Jesus, even when you're saved. Pardon me. In verse number 7, Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7. It's talking about Jesus Christ in verses 1 through 6 and how He is a... He is faithful. He's better than Moses. He's the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Verse number 6, Christ the Son over His own house, whose house are we? So forth and so on. And then verse number 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice, the voice of Jesus Christ, harden not your hearts. You want to hear His voice? Don't harden your heart. Look at verse number 15, same chapter. While it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 7 there. Again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. You say the way to keep the Savior's voice coming in loud and clear is to keep a tender, pliable, obedient heart. And if you won't harden your heart, you'll keep the Savior's voice coming in strong, loud, and clear. But when you start hardening, you're not going to hear His voice. You see, a tender heart's a pliable heart. A pliable heart is an obedient heart. When He speaks, we need to respond with obedience. Now, I'll tell you something, friend. I'll tell you, when people start doubting their salvation, when they come to an issue in their Christian life, they come to a place in their Christian life and they lock their heels in. And they lock down. I've had people say to me, about issues of standards of dress. I've had people say to me about issues of tithing. I'll never believe that. They lock in. When they lock in on it, it's not long before they're gone. I could call names tonight of people that used to sit here on Wednesday night. They're not here tonight. And they said to me, I'll never see that. I'll never see that issue. You know what that's called? That's called hardening your heart. Then your heart's not tender. Harden not your hearts. Why? You won't hear His voice. No communication. No burning. No stirring. What's happened? Am I saved? Now you're saved. You just locked down. You just locked down on an issue. Just locked down. You ever see? You know, it's a funny thing. It's funny to observe a congregation, to observe people in the church. It's funny. You got some folks who may not see the light on a certain issue, but they're getting everything in the world out of church because they're not hardened on it. They're not hard on it. They got a good attitude. They'd like to learn. You know, I'd like to know more about that. I don't see it right now, but on the other hand, I'll never put a vacancy sign on their seat in the pew because they'll be gone for long. People lock down. It happens. They harden their hearts. Jesus stops communicating with them. Am I saved? Am I lost? No desire. Blah, blah, blah. When He speaks through the Scriptures, we need to acknowledge it with obedience. You read that Bible and it gets on you some morning and you, oh man. Confess it as sin and set out to correct it. When He speaks through the Sunday services, respond with humility at the altar. The altar is a place of death. That's why it's called an altar. You die. That area of your life that the Spirit of God, that Jesus talked with you about when you're sitting out there in the service, and all of a sudden it's like I'm all by myself, and this is so personal, so intimate. Man, I'm so... Lord, it's an act of humility and humbleness to kneel at an altar. I acknowledge that, God. I need to improve. Lord, I thank You for helping me this morning. Respond. Don't harden up. Well, I don't need to respond. It's a hard heart. When He speaks to you through the storms, receive the comfort that's offered. Don't be like Jacob of old when his children tried to comfort him concerning Joseph and he refused it. Remember that? I'll go to the grave mourning my son. Don't even bring me any of that comfort. I don't want it. Excuse me. But comfort is What are the graces of God? It's a gift. When He offers it, receive it. Take it. Absorb it. Let it help you. Are y'all listening? Are y'all going to sleep out there? Y'all, are you with me? No, I am hurt and I am offended and I am grieving and I am not going to even open myself to the comfort that I could receive. That's dangerous. Well, that's the grace of God to bring your heart comfort. Open up to it. If you're in the storm and God offers that comfort, receive it. If you've stumbled and He speaks to you through the stumble, you need to accept the correction and get back on your feet. Peter did. He fell on his face at the Lord's feet. And he became one of the pillars of the church. He's almost out to sea. He's almost shipwrecked. But he heard the voice, "Do you have any meat? Come on back. The bread and fish on the fire here." It takes a humble man to kneel down and say, "Lord, I'm forgive me." But he did. And he got so much power on his life after that that even the shadow that crossed over sick people, they were healed. There's a way back if you're away from God. There's a way back, and Jesus wants you back, and He calls you back. But when you lock down and say, dangerous. Do you recognize the Savior's voice? Do you? "My sheep hear my voice." Boy, it's sweet. Amen. It's a good thing, Lord. Thank you. How many times do I fail Him? How many times do I fail Him? But I hear His voice. I hear it. That's what He said. "My sheep hear my voice." It's biblical evidence of salvation. You don't have to live your life in doubt, scared to death every night. Okay? Let's stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Thank you, dear Father, for all your book teaches us. Thank you for this lesson tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to us, your sheep. Help us always to recognize your voice and to listen for it. And thank you for that evidence of salvation. Bless us in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Again, the witness of the Holy Spirit, do you have that? Do you have the recognition of the Savior's voice? Those are good evidences of Bible salvation, real salvation. We'll have an invitation. Ladies will play. If you're bothered by your salvation experience, if you're bothered by it, talk to one of us afterwards sometime.